Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, company alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. On this Monday, it is getting real. We are moving toward the start of the NFL season, obviously. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Sirius XM2. Who's this guy?
Nice to meet you.
Who is this guy? Is this my partner? We have not been in the same studio. D-Cell said, what, July 20th? Is that right?
Wow.
July 20th. How you doing, buddy?
We made the most out of summer. Let's put it that way.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, we did.
Part
stretched
vacation,
out.
Part other cool stuff that you'll hear about at some point.
Well, you carried the weight, and I said this when you were out. I certainly want to say this while you were here. I did a couple of shows from Utah, but you were grinding. I know you had some of your buddies in. Burke was in for a day.
Yep. Aaron Murray.
Murray was in.
We've had on the phone many times.
How was he in person?
He was
good,
great,
dude, right?
Very prepared. He actually did the game. We'll talk about week zero in college football later, but he did the game out in Hawaii. I was like, dude, how you pull that game?
Hey, listen, you know, he's got a good agent. First game's in Hawaii. I know Bordeal was in here. Yep. So thank you, man. You know, it was something that I didn't see coming. And again, eventually I'll be able to tell you what the project is. It's awesome. I wish I could, but I can't. We'll get to that soon. But as your partner and as your buddy, thank you. It was awesome.
Always,
it was something,
brother.
I really had to try, and both, not just me, but the entire family is very appreciative of you because I know you were really grinding for a while. So, hey, we're here, man. We're here. We're almost here.
Yeah.
We are almost here. Listen, Andrew Luck, I mean, there's three elements, number one. I think the pure shock of it, the timing of it, and how it affects the Colts. Go ahead, buddy. Take it away first.
First of all, I completely get this. I get it. And it goes back to, you know, something we read about a month ago. We didn't bring it to air. I didn't bring it there. I think we talked about Andrew Luck many times through this, including a couple of those shows where you were in remotely from Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't bring it to air because it felt too personal. But he said something back on August 1st talking about his shoulder injury, where he was thankful that it actually happened. It was a blessing in disguise, because it allowed him to reconnect with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He had spent so much time, you know, focusing on football. I'm talking about his whole life, like going back to high school to college at Stanford and then the NFL, his first few seasons where he was playoffs. He was constantly improving. You can imagine how hard that is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't become great by, it's going to be a part-time job. There was a grind involved with him being Andrew Luck, and it was to the detriment of, I think, his relationships. And he said this, and it was brief and it was quick. He said it was a blessing because it allowed him to reconnect with his wife. He and his wife are pregnant. They're expecting a child, which is his first one. And it's one of those things where it registered and then it was gone. And then when he retired, it came flying back to the front of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, obviously, being someone who retired early as well, had one of my best seasons when I was 30, retired at 31 that next summer. A lot of it was because I wanted to be with my kids. Like, my kids were asking me, Dad, let's go to the park. Let's go to the playground. AJ and Chasen, who are now 17 and 15. Let's go, you know, do X, Y, Z. And I didn't want to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was just physically exhausted and beat up and just worn down. And it came to a point where you just have to decide what's more important, continuing to, you know, be on this grind. Yeah, you're making good money.
Sure.
But you're sacrificing something.
Yeah.
And I walked away. I was 31. I had probably exhausted myself at that age. Andrew Luck, as a quarterback, still has years to go. So it's more shocking because it's a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right? It's different for a running back who gets pounded or you know, a linebacker or a quarterback.
Who has concussions, you know.
Exactly. But
yeah.
For a quarterback.
Very different.
Who's largely all uber protected.
Except him.
Except for him.
And Cam Newton.
Which may explain some of it. But
Ryan Grigson, who was horrendous.
It was shocking. BT, it was shocking.
It's the right word?
It was shocking.
It's the right word. You know, it's funny. There are many different ways to react to the news here. And there was definitely a point in my life where I would not have been able to understand exactly where he was coming from.
Before you had kids, right?
Before I had kids, for sure. And I'm just nodding my head. As you're sitting there saying, when you wanted to, when your kids, and they're 17 and 15 now, but when you wanted to really be there for the formative years, the bikes, when the training wheels come off, when they first learn how to run and really throw, mm-hmm. and the mechanics of sport, and not just sports, but things to do with school. You know, if I was, you know, 25 or 30, I got married later in life, even if I was in my mid-30s, I'd say, man, how do you walk away at the age of 20? How do you leave the NFL? Like, I get it. Yeah. If you're not happy, and I tweeted this out, I said, you know, there's only so many ways and so often that you can manipulate the mind and the heart. And if they're not in sync, you have to divorce yourself from what was. I don't care how great of a passion it was, you've got to move on. Now, I said to Tiki before we came on the air, I actually think he's going to return to football. That's my opinion. Do you agree with that at some point?
I think it's a possibility. Now, the question is how long he's done. He's out for, mm-hmm. right? If it gets to 2 years, I think he moves on to other things. Other things become more important. But if it's a year from now, he's settled. He feels,
I mean, the calf's eventually going to get healthy.
Maybe. BT, I have no idea what the hell's going on with this calf. It doesn't make sense.
No.
Because let's remember what happened. Comeback player of the year from 2018. Had a fantastic season last year, mm-hmm. Returning from that shoulder injury. Finished the regular season mostly healthy. I mean, maybe nicks and bruises that come from being in a 17-week NFL season. He goes into the offseason, does nothing, right? Except for a couple of mini camps, shows up at training camp, practices a day, and then is done.
It's like, the most bizarre. Like, it's really crazy.
What happened?
I don't know.
You know, was he like snowboarding? I mean, maybe. Who knows? What happened that caused him to have a calf injury that then turned into an ankle injury that then turned into this ridiculous, you know, got an extra bone in his foot?
Well, confusion first.
It's confusion.
Was it skeletal? Was it soft tissue? Once Ursae popped in, he completely throws a curveball. We didn't know what it was.
I agree. There's a lack of communication between player, coach, and medical department.
Yes.
And it's
been like that for too long.
You're right.
Last injury.
You're right.
Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. You know, the one thing that I take away this, and this is probably, obviously, unfair to Andrew Luck. There are certain people, you just kind of come up with a mental framework of how you think certain people are when you don't know them.
Yeah.
We had him on the show once, you and I.
That's right.
One time in the 7 years we've been, 7-plus years we've been together once. And he was incredibly cordial, incredibly humble, incredibly boring. And that's how you want your quarterback to be.
Absolutely.
That's not a knock.
Anti-Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, we'll circle back to him as well. It didn't look too good over the weekend. But I never, again, this is not a diss at all. I never viewed him as overly sophisticated. I know he's very smart. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I get that. He's a deep thinker, more so than I think we all thought. And he's cerebral. But I used to look at Andrew Luck kind of the way I looked at Peyton, where he almost couldn't exist without football.
Yeah.
And I think I was wildly off base.
Well, I think that's a great
comparison. You know what I'm
saying? It's a great comparison, BT, because everybody knows, at least if you've listened to us for a while, you know that I know Peyton's wife, Ashley.
Yep.
We went to school together at the University of Virginia. And she would tell us, like, and I've gotten to know Peyton over the years. And he was at, you know, my 20th reunion in Charlottesville. It was awesome, man.
Sitting in the corner.
Oh, he was awesome. No, I won't get into the story.
Was he getting a little nutty?
No, he was just having some fun.
That a bull. Listen, wouldn't he?
You do what you do, when you're at Virginia.
Hell yeah. You do what you do when you're anywhere. Have fun.
Exactly.
Don't break any rules and have fun.
But during his, like, height.
Or don't get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
If you break
during
him.
His height, all he did was eat, drink, sleep. Think, you know, everything football.
Mm-hmm.
It was a grind, and there's a reason he was amazing, because
mm-hmm.
you have to know the ins and outs and nuances of every player, every coach, you know, every situation you're going to find yourself in, and it doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't put the time in. And that's not time at the facility. That's not getting there at 7:30, which is usually the earliest guy that's there, and leaving at 6. It's like doing it every waking moment that you're home and you're thinking about things and you're drawing things out. And it's a grind, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a long time, Peyton Manning was the exact example of who Andrew Luck wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton never had the injuries. He got banged around later in his career when he had the neck stenosis and he had to have surgery. But, I mean, he was a Hall of Famer by then. Already won a championship. He was a stud. We viewed him as the greatest, you know, manipulator of defenses in football history, maybe.
That's a good way to frame it,
like,
yeah.
He had already achieved it. Andrew Luck has been grinding through this really since year two, right? When he gets banged around and he has the rib injury, has a knee injury. It was everything. And I know this from playing running back, which is different than playing quarterback, but I know it from playing running back. Once you start having to work at being healthy, it gets not fun. You know what I mean? It becomes a job more so than in pure enjoyment. And so, yes, he was headed down that route, but he got detoured because of injuries. And it happens to the best of them, man. I mean, the TD, Terrell Davis, right?
Yep.
And think about how great he could have been if he had played 12 years as opposed to seven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blew up his knee against the Jets, I think it was, right?
So, yeah, it was.
We see it happen to other positions, and we get it. We see it happen to quarterbacks, and we start scratching our heads saying, what the heck?
Yeah, not just scratching our heads. I mean, you and I have not done this, but many people, including people who played the position, really uber-criticized the timing. Let me flip that to you.
Yeah.
Do you believe he left the Colts in a bad... Now, you can only reconcile what you reconcile in your own... You can't speed up the process. So it might be unfair to levy too much criticism on his time frame, but it's 2 weeks before the start of the season.
That's baffling to me. But here's the thing, and let's not forget, because we can't ignore this fact. We don't know if he was going to be able to play.
He wasn't playing week one. There's no way he was playing week one. No.
He didn't practice.
He wasn't playing September.
You're right. The whole preseason he hadn't practiced. So, you know, maybe that's part because he was struggling with this mentally and he didn't want to fight through it. Like, are you injured or are you hurt? Well, I'm just hurting a little bit. I'm not really injured and I don't want to do it. We don't know if it was that. But he wasn't playing to start the season. So Jacoby Brissett, who is immediate backup, and I got to tell you, one of the great benefactors of this is Chad Kelly, who's had a pretty good preseason. Maybe he makes the team. But Jacoby Brissett is who's going to have to take the reins now. Jacoby Brissett has been preparing to be the Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback for the 2019 season for a month now. Right, so I get where people are saying, oh, he left him in a lurch. He wasn't starting the season. You know what I mean? We kind of knew this a while ago. And so I scratch my head about the timing, but I'm not going to vilify him because of how this timed out.
Many have.
I know. A lot of them have.
Steve Berline crushed him.
I agree. I mean.
Crushed him. I'll read some of his tweets later. Crushed him.
But when you look at it in a vacuum, it's justified, right, the criticism. But when you look at it in totality, it's we don't know enough to level that kind of criticism.
It's fair. That's a fair take. 1-855-212-4227. So obviously a few things to splice through here. We'll get these calls, the pure shock of it, the timing of it. How does it affect the Colts moving forward? We got a big day in terms of interviews today as well. Tiki and Tierney's 2 days roll on. Bruce Arians, who coached Andrew Luck. Great timing there. He's the head coach of the Bucs, as we know. He'll join us coming up at 3:40 Eastern, 25 minutes from now. And then at 4 Eastern, there's even a deeper, on a collegiate level, he didn't play with him, but he went to Stanford. It's John Lynch,
right,
the GM of the 49ers, will join us. So we have Bruce Arians, John Lynch. We'll preview the Bucs. The Niners will get your reaction. What does this do to the AFC South? Do you take issue with the timing? Do you believe that he really left the Colts in a spot that is just untenable? I don't, because I like Brissett. Tiki doesn't either. He's been prepping for a month, but others have a very different read. 1-855-212-4227. Inbounds, out of bounds as well. Tiki, who is this guy? Who is this guy? We're back. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll get some calls here in a bit. Tiki and Tierney's 2 days roll on. We've got Bruce Arians coming up next on the Bucks as he tries to rehabilitate Jameis Winston. Is that a good way to put it? Alex Smith and Harbaugh back in the day?
That's the only way to put it.
That is the only way to put it.
This is his fifth year. He's got to get it done, man.
That's true. And John Lynch of the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, went from a zero quarterback rating to almost a perfect one.
Dude, that's hard to do.
That's almost – no, I don't think anybody's ever done
it
that.
It is hard to go 0.0.
Yeah, that.
I mean, and it's the preseason, but whatever. But he looked bad.
Dude, the one pass he connected was one little dump at the line of scrimmage. It was literally – it was almost a lateral pass. So we got a lot to do. Obviously, the Andrew Luck stuff is huge. Listen to this from Steve Berline. I've always been a huge Andrew Luck fan. Always, always. But this I cannot defend or justify. No scenario where retirement is defensible. To do this to his teammates, organization, fans, and the NFL 2 weeks before the season is not right. I love the guy, but it's going to haunt him. Goes on. Point is, this is a massive decision. He said he's endorsed and pondered for 10 days. Colts invested in him for 5 to 10 more years. Go on IR, go away for a few weeks and think about it. Get healthy for a second half of a season and make a run. Colts are good. If Jacoby goes 4-4, they have a chance. Then he talks about the fan base and the organization, the entire NFL. He even says, and listen, we know Steve. He's part of the crew at CBS Law. I like Steve. We've had him on. I like him. But I think he's really off base here when he says that, basically saying that Andrew Luck owes it to the NFL. He doesn't owe it to the NFL. He owes it to Andrew Luck, number one,
right.
And number two or 1A, the Colts,
look,
period.
I got a bunch of notes from friends because I went through a similar situation. I told them before the year happened, right? They knew my last season that I was retiring, but a couple of guys I was friendly with from the Giants wrote me after this news came down. They're like, this reminds me of you and how you looked at the bigger picture rather than, you know, the immediate gratification of fandom, right? And it made me think about, like, what's going through Andrew Luck's mind and where, you know, what he could possibly be thinking. This is something it's not flippant, right? And it's also not that damaging to the Colts because, as we just said, he probably wasn't playing definitely not first week. And probably not the first month of the season. So Jacoby Brissett has been preparing to be the starter already. That's one. Two, because this happened when I retired, your salary, your commitment gets suspended. You know what I mean? They put you on it's like being on IR. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put them on I forget what it's called.
It's the retirement.
Yeah, something like
it's a retirement list and there's / something else. It's got two names.
Exactly. And so it actually...
The inactive / retirement list?
Something like that. But it helps them financially as well for him to do it this way. So they don't have to pay him. You know what I mean? And so it's
but they're letting him keep the money, $24.8 million.
Well, that's the signing bonus. Which is what it is.
But the Lions didn't let Megatron keep that. They went petty. They took $1 million back.
But if you're the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck had a fantastic six seasons. Because he missed one. Six seasons with this team. Yes, his completion percentage early, and we'll talk to Bruce Arians about this. The philosophy that Bruce espouses is throw the ball downfield, right? It's risk and reward. Ben Roethlisberger has been doing it for his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the ball downfield. It was a low percentage completion. But he went 11-5.
Won 11 games 3 times in a row out of the chute.
Exactly.
I know.
So, yeah, he might have looked like an inefficient passer, but he was a winner, right? So if you're the Indianapolis Colts and you have this guy who replaced a legend. Let's not forget that. He replaced a legend and kept it straight. You know what I mean? Kept him actually on the grind. If you're the Colts, you want this to be copacetic because to your point, and you're dead right, BT, he might in a year or however long say, I'm coming out of retirement. I feel right with myself. I'm rested. I've had a kid. Me and my relationship with my family is strong. I feel like I can do this again. If you're the Colts and you give me back all the money and you burn the bridge, it's less likely that that's going to happen.
Go play for the Chargers Rivers retires.
Seriously, think about the scenario.
You played out in California,
right? I'm coming back, but I'm not playing for you guys.
Yeah,
right?
You can't have that possibility.
You can't have that.
It's true.
So
it's a good point.
The Colts had to kind of do it this way.
I guess, yeah. That's right. Let's get some calls, T. We've got Bruce Arians coming up next. John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers after that. So we got a lot to do. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. And first up, Jared is in Pennsylvania. What up, Jared? How you doing today?
Hey, great, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
With pleasure. What's up?
Got it.
So I had a couple of quick points to the story. I'm not a Colts fan. I'm a Redskins fan. Tiki, I still wish they would have drafted you back.
Me too. Blame Charlie Casherly.
I've called before, and every time I talk to you and listen to you, I think, man, they missed out so big.
They did, but they had just drafted Stephen Davis, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of worked out a little bit, I guess. But
not like Tiki, but anyway.
So with this situation, I think it's pretty ridiculous. You know, I'm about 2 hours north of Philadelphia, and there's kind of a situation going on right now that no one's really talking about besides Philadelphia, and that's Bryce Harper missing a couple games for the birth of his son. He's getting ripped left and right.
Is he really getting ripped, Jared?
Oh, he is.
That's pathetic.
Wow.
Yes,
what a
getting
joke.
Getting ripped for missing the games, and his priority should be the team and the playoff hunt. And, it just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. When you look at Andrew Luck, you know, for all of us, what matters the most? I mean, the day we die, we're not bringing possessions, we're not bringing money, we're not bringing trophies, we're not bringing any of that stuff. It matters is our friends, our family, our health, you know, how long we can live and sustain just a livable life. And I think that Andrew Luck, I wish him well, and I think he made the right decision if his heart wasn't in it.
Well said. That's a good call there, Jared. Go ahead, finish up, bud, real quick.
Yeah. The other thing is, no other player that retired early has talked about regretting it. Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, Patrick Willis.
Yeah.
I've never heard a word about them saying how they regret retiring early.
You're right. And if anyone should have, it should have been me, because the Giants won a Super Bowl right after
that's
I did.
That's right.
But I don't regret it.
No.
Honestly, I wouldn't be sitting here with you if I'd kept playing.
And can I say that? I know you want to get into something deeper, but before I get to really, really, really know you, I didn't know if I really truly believed that when I first asked you. Like, when we first started doing these shows 7 years ago, I'd say to myself, just because of me, maybe this is just the way I'm wired.
Well,
and,
because back then you were like uber fan BT.
Yes.
Right? And you're just.
How could you walk away from the NFL? Right. How can you walk away from big money? And how do you maybe regret's not the perfect word, but how do you regret not being part of a championship? And not that I didn't believe you, but now I fully believe you. Go ahead.
You didn't realize how much of a geek I was.
We've known that for a while now.
I meant to say this before when we were talking about this. Like, the Giants had this philosophy. Wellington Mara had this philosophy. Family, faith. Actually, maybe in the other way. But whatever. Family, faith, and football.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those two that come before football are paramount.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're not right with either one of those, whatever your faith may be, I'm not talking, it's not religious, but whatever those two are, if you're not right with those, then football doesn't mean as much. And I think we're missing this sometimes when fans are booing him and people are ripping him. Things come before football. They have to, because football doesn't last forever. It's gone, right? Eventually it'll be gone. And yeah, maybe you made a lot of money. Yeah, maybe you're a Hall of Famer, whatever it is. But there's a lot of Hall of Famers. There's a lot of guys who made a lot of money who are not in good states emotionally because of what they sacrificed doing this. It's not everybody, but there are cases. And we don't know. I mean, we don't know what was going through his mind. And maybe at some point he'll talk about this and give us a deeper insight, maybe like an Oprah Winfrey type interview.
Maybe he's depressed.
It could be that, BT. It happens to many people.
I know.
And it's not.
Not, you know, weakness.
Exactly. It just is. And when I see people like slamming him about, you know, this isn't a mental health problem, it bothers me, man, because you don't know.
No.
You don't know this man. You're not walking in his shoes or experiencing his ups and downs and what makes him happy and what makes him sad. We don't know these things.
Mm-hmm. I think it's I think that has to be said. And I think that before we get Axe update, I just wanted to add to that a little bit here. You know, there's If even though I tweeted about this, I will even give on some level the fans in the stadium that night probably not as much as you, as I can tell.
No.
But trust me, if you read my tweet, I'm in complete alignment with you.
I know what you're saying.
But I'm just saying, you know, I really, in the stadium, that's when you first learn that he's retiring. Still, to boo him is so petty and so weak. But if you're still going at Andrew Luck today,
you can't. Yeah.
You're pretty pathetic.
Yeah,
you're really, right. The only thing that you should boo is apathy, indifference, which is basically the same thing, or lack of effort from your athletes. If you want to boo lack of production, that's cool as well. Guys throwing seven picks, boom, get him to the bench. This guy's terrible. But if you're playing hard and you're a good citizen, you know what? Just because he doesn't want to play football, come on, man. Grow up.
Agreed. Before we get to act, Chris Ballard, the GM of the Indianapolis Colts, talked about exactly what BT was just referring to.
It's an emotional time, and I understand that. But this young man has done a lot for the city of Indianapolis and for the Indianapolis Colts. Nobody died. And we keep moving forward.
And they got to keep moving forward. And it will be with Jacoby Brissett. How good of a chance they have to be a championship team, we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they were unprepared for this. Jacoby Brissett was going to have to play. This is just what's happening going forward. We knew he was going to have to play earlier in the season. Now he's just got to play the whole season.
I'll tell you this. If you're writing off the Colts here, I think it will be unwise. Now, Super Bowl, you've got to adjust those. You've got to modify that expectation for sure. But Lamar Miller out for the season. Not that he's a superstar running back, but he's the best they had.
Right.
So their running game is going to be old. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show.
How prophetic is the Duke Johnson trade?
The Duke Johnson
not
trade.
Not that he's the runner that Lamar Miller was.
At least he's a possible option.
Exactly.
I hear you. Mariota and that and the Titans. I mean, Ryan Tannehill could be playing for them in a month. You never know.
True.
So, and, you know, listen, as much as the Jaguars still have some pretty nice pieces on defense, and Nick Foles is a Super Bowl legend, is Nick Foles, a star week to week? I think there's a lot of answers on that, and I think more would probably align with no's than yes. So this will be a tight division. They're not going to be 3-13. They're not going to be 5-11. I put them right in that 8-ish neighborhood. Get a couple of breaks. Maybe you win 9. Maybe you win 10. You don't. You win 7. You got. Right. You know, I mean, they're right there.
You're right.
Just they're like still right there.
And that's football these days. You got to be at the middle, and then find a way to accelerate to the top as you get closer to the end of the season.
Well, the next guest that we have on the show, he's trying to get to the middle, which has proven evasive for the Tampa Bay Bucks the last couple of years. Bruce Arians trying to resuscitate the Bucks at his quarterback. We love Bruce. He will join us next. All righty, Tiki and Tierney back. He could just, he could feel it. It's almost there. By the way, you're welcome. 1-for-1, Miami plus the 7 points. Hopefully you cashed in on that, I told you. Time to ask the pros here. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the most compelling one. So you make us think, and we will give you a good answer, thoughtful answer. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Let's face it, our next guest, good in the booth, but he's where he belongs. He's got to be coaching, man. And he's back there, and he's with the Bucks. And Bruce Arians is going to join us in a sec. We get to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL Training Camp Two-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 5-11. Last in the NFC South. The Bucs had one of the most explosive offenses last season, but often with former number one pick Jameis Winston on the sidelines watching Ryan Fitzpatrick work his magic. Now with Fitz gone, the onus is all on Jameis, and new head coach and famed quarterback guru Bruce Arians is just fine with that.
I just want him to be Jameis. Jameis is good enough. He don't need to be Peyton, and he don't need to be Ben. Just go out and play great football and be Jameis, and that's plenty good enough. I mean, the sky is the limit for him.
Can Arians do what he did with Big Ben, Luck, and Palmer, and turn Jameis into a star?
All right, good to have him back on the field, barking out instructions, throwing a few expletives out there, which is always good. And hopefully he doesn't drop any now, although if he does, we have the dump button. Head coach of the Bucks, Bruce Arians, our first guest 7 years ago on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, welcome back, buddy. How are you today?
It's hard to believe it's been that long.
Yeah,
it has been.
A long time we've been sitting next to each other. But how's camp, your first one back since taking a year off? How's it been down there?
It's been fantastic, you know, other than the lightning every day. It was really good. I mean, we had a great camp, and, looking forward to this last preseason game, see some young guys play, and finish off the roster moves, and let's go to work.
Yeah, let's take a sidestep real quick, Bruce, because obviously I heard your comments about Andrew Luck and how something must have went wrong. You were his first coordinator when he was drafted to the Indianapolis Colts, and we know something was amiss here. But can you explain what he might have been thinking? You obviously, as a quarterback-minded coach, get to know your quarterbacks really, really well. What's the Andrew Luck that we don't know that could explain this?
I think it is the injuries for so long, to live with that much pain, mm-hmm. and to rehab for that long. It's been, 3 to 4 years on and off, and mostly on. And it just wears on you. I think this last one, I think, has worn on him to a point where he had enough.
Yeah. Do you think he's the type of guy that would you know, take a year and then come back? Because that's a lot of people are speculating about. He just needs a mental break and then get back into the game.
I don't think it's mental for him. It's just a matter of pain. Now, you know, if he's totally healthy in a year from now, maybe. But knowing Andrew, when he makes decisions, they're pretty permanent. So I wouldn't bet on that one.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. Bruce Arians with us here, the head coach of the Bucks. All right, let's get to your squad here, Coach. Obviously, you weren't around for this, but if things were going well, you wouldn't be coach of the Bucks. They wouldn't need a coach. So, back-to-back five-win seasons as a franchise, only one winning season in the last 8 years. When you assembled for the first time and tried to, you know, cut to the heart of the room and get your message across, where do you start? Where do you start to fix what's been wrong for a while in Tampa?
I think to me it's easy. Win close games. You know, there's so many games when you look at the tape where a field goal here, a busted assignment there, a dropped interception there, closing out games, closing out halves, just playing smarter football at the end of a half and at the end of a game.
Do you, and you should know by now, you've been around them for a while, did you get the sense, Bruce, that when you took over, that was a locker room? Granted, there's been some moves since, we get that, but that was a locker room that was desperate to win and desperate to do what it takes to win with no shortcuts? Or did you have to convince, I know you're not going to stroke egos, you're old school, you're not about that, but did you feel that the room was ready to put in the work to try to win?
No, that's one thing you have to go out and find out, you know, and I can say that I couldn't ask for any more effort or guys showing up, doing everything we've asked of them. It's been fantastic that way. So, yeah, I mean, that part of it, yeah, I'd say they do want to win, and they've shown that they want to win. So, I mean, it's been fantastic that way. We won a couple of close, should have won all three of our ball games in close fashion, which I like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two-time Coach of the Year, by the way, Bruce Arians, now with the Bucks, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Coach, tell us about Jameis and where he is, or where you feel he is, because we won't really know until the games really matter. But where is he? We know that you're trying to get him to cut down on some of those mistakes. I was listening to the game this past weekend, mainly because my brother was doing it. So I was, one of the things he mentioned was a decision that he made in tight red zone. He took the sack as opposed to trying to make a hero throw. And that's what has gotten him in trouble, really, over the course of his entire career. Where are you, I should say, with Jameis Winston?
I'm fine. I mean, I think it's still in a learning process in those situations. You know, he hangs on some touchdowns. He's got some guys that can win. And he kind of hangs on him a little bit too long instead of just taking you underneath. That one in the red zone, you know, we had an empty set, and he thought that post was going to come open, and he missed the underneath throw to get the first down. So ends up sacking himself. Those things, I think, are just growing pains.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I heard you mention when you first took the job was that you want him to take risks, but you want him to be smart with your risk. What does that mean to you?
Oh, yeah. There, in every one of our plays, there's a ball downtown in the right matchup, and there's plays to bring it back down, check it down to the back. He went through a 7-on-7 early in camp. I think he hit the back about five times, and he had about almost 110 yards passing because they're wide open.
Yeah.
And just, you know, those things you just learn. I think we had a full scrimmage. And it was 3rd and 16. He checked it down to the back, and the guy went 45 yards. So it's like, hey, this stuff really works.
Yeah, that'll happen
when you're learning that part.
That'll happen when you double teaming Mike Evans, which you have to. There's a lot of plays short, man. You got to take it. Bruce, what have you learned about Jameis that you didn't know before you took the job?
Oh, I don't know. He's in such a great place personally, you know, with his son and his fiance getting married next year. So. All those things are. I think he's just in a great place to play have a hell of a season.
He's coachable. He's a coachable kid.
Oh gosh, I mean he's a workaholic, and it's maybe to a point where it's too much sometimes. But he's here before I get out of bed.
Nice. You're on the third hole. We know what you're saying. Fifth hole. Pardon me. Bruce Arians with us here on TV.
Oh, yeah, he's here at 5:15. I mean, I'm not getting up that early.
I would love the honesty. We miss this guy.
Go ahead, T. Hey, Coach, you know, this is aside from your team, but what do you think about the preseason, how it's evolved? I mean, I was watching this game last Thursday, third preseason game, Packers-Raiders. This is the one where you're supposed to, like, play. And they had a field issue. Nobody played. 33 Packers sat. I mean, none of the Raiders played. It's like, how do you even evaluate in the preseason anymore? Where should it and could it? How can it be changed to be meaningful?
I think if we leave preseason 3 and 4 as they are and take 1 and 2 out, but have inter-squad practices with another team.
Yeah.
Because you can put your guys in situations that might not happen in games. You know, we had a great week with the Dolphins, then we played them.
Yeah.
I think you can get so much more practice against somebody else if they're willing to go at your tempo. You know, a lot of teams won't go at the right tempo. So you got to find another coach like you that, hey, we're not in this thing for fighting and all that crap. We're here to get better.
Yeah.
And I think you can get by because you can evaluate your guys against somebody else without having a game. But I would definitely – the one thing we cannot do is shorten the preseason and lose the practice time.
Yeah.
We don't practice enough now. I mean, one of the biggest problems in our league right now is finding offensive linemen because they never practice.
Yeah, they don't hit. And what they did in college was such a quick-paced, you know, get the ball out of your hands in less than 2 seconds. It's not what you're going to get in the NFL.
We're getting guys in offensive line who've never been in a three-point stance in high school or college.
Wow.
Who've never been in a huddle.
Oh, wow.
Good God. Jeez.
I mean, that's the spread offense. So they look to the sideline, and they get in a two-point stance. And somebody kicks their foot, and away they go. Now all of a sudden you got to get in a three-point stance and block J.J. Watt.
Yeah. Oh. No, yeah, that doesn't work, especially against guys like J.J. Watt. Another thing, Bruce, that I commend you for, and I tweeted this out after I – read this, and I didn't know it, but it makes a lot of sense. Byron Leftwich, who is your offensive coordinator, is the only black play caller in the National Football League right now. Obviously, you have three African-American coordinators. You have two women coaches. One's a strength and conditioning coach. I mean, you're like a pioneer in some ways for opportunity for a lot of these, I guess, looked-over athletes. Why is that so important to you?
I guess because I never got a head coaching job until I was 60. You know, I think that was me for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think people need opportunities. And it's not always the one that was brought up through a certain system. And race and gender should never play into it. So it's a matter of finding people who are super qualified and giving them an opportunity.
What do you think the ceiling is for women in coaching in the NFL?
I don't think there is one. If you can teach, that's all a player wants to know. Man, you played. Hey, if you can make me better, I'm listening.
Yeah.
I don't care who. I don't care if you're male, female. Just help make me better.
Yeah. Yeah. I commend that. That's one of the great things I love about you, Bruce.
It's amazing.
And again, I've known Bruce forever, so I'm biased, but still. Good luck, Coach, man. Seriously, we're rooting for you. You got one of those stories. That's awesome to root for. The Buccaneers have been, searching for an answer, and I hope it's you because you deserve it, and so do the Bucs.
I appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate you, Coach. Be well.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, and I always do this because you never assume that it's the same audience. Mm-hmm. So Tiki's dad and Bruce were roommates at Virginia Tech and the first black-white roommate duo.
Yeah. You're right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, him.
That's how long he's known Bruce Arians.
He and his wife held me and my brother when we were like newborns. So.
Here's your little binky, Rondé. Come here. Come on, T. Here's your little binky.
Did they have binkies back then?
I don't know. Dude, there was no sunscreen back then. There was no seatbelts back. There was nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how we all made it to this this point in life.
Just sit in the well of the car. So if we crash, you'll be okay.
Don't electrocute yourself. Don't eat something you're not. Don't eat poison. Don't eat like the rat poison in the backyard. Good God.
Don't stick anything in the outlets.
Exactly.
Bruce is old school like that. We love.
He is phenomenal. Now, it's a tough division. Let's call for what it is. If they made a huge dent this year, I would be surprised, not stunned.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, I think they could really pop.
I agree with
you. If Jameis is the guy.
Look, they gotta get the culture right. And whenever there's a new coach that comes in, the first thing that's got to change and shift is the culture.
Good point.
He'll bring that for sure. The question is, and it's a good question you ask, mm-hmm. who falls in line with it?
And we'll find out. Speaking of culture, John Lynch still trying to change the 49ers culture. Their GM joins us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.